again, we warmly welcome each one that has come along tonight to this gospel meeting. And we trust that through the preaching of the word, that you look beyond the preacher and listen to the words that are spoken from God's word, the Bible, and you'll put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and go out of this building rejoicing in all your sins forgiven. Shall we turn to Luke chapter 12, the third book in the New Testament? Luke chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For God said unto him, or but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, reading at verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. This is the Lord Jesus. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, and casting lots that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Verse 45. And from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Luke chapter 5, for our final reading. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, who were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man who was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way or means they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? Which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that on which he lay, and departed to his own house, and house glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things this day. It's my purpose this evening to speak on three men. I want to speak on the foolish man, I want to speak on the forsaken man, and I want to speak on the forgiven man. You know, we read here in the first of a rich man, and God called him a fool. But thou fool. In Psalm chapter 14 and 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 21, King Saul, he says, behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. A man who God had raised up to be king, but a man who turned his back on the ways of God, and he could save himself. I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, or chapter 28 and verse 26, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And finally, in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 33, David, speaking of Abner, said, died Abner as a fool dieth. He had reached the city of refuge where he was safe, and he was called outside by his arch enemy, and he stepped outside, and there he was slain. His hands were not bound, his feet were not in fetters, but he died when he should have been safe and alive. And so we have the foolish man. The foolish man is one who does not have God in his life. And the only way to have God in your life is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But look at this rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. Note the two main thoughts about this rich man. He never saw beyond himself. Do you notice he referred to my barn, my fruits, my goods? I will do this, I will do that. He never thought about those around him that were in need. He never looked beyond himself. And we'll see as we go down, when I take up more about him, that he was totally filled with himself. He looked inward instead of looking outward and upward. And then he never saw beyond this world. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Is that not the cry of the world tonight? Up where I come from, that's the cry of man. And I believe it's the cry of man down here. Men and women, boys and girls. They know not what tomorrow will bring. So they said, let's just live our life and enjoy it here, not thinking about what is beyond. Eternity. Eternity that never shall end. You know, there was a older Christian man, a man who knew the Lord as his Savior. He was talking to a young man in school. And he was asking the young man what he was going to do when he got out of school. And he said, oh, I'm going to get a job. And the older man said, and then? Well, then once I get my training, then I'm going to start my own business, and I'm going to get rich. And then? Well, I guess I'll retire and enjoy that which I have earned. And he said, and then? Well, he says, I guess I'll die. The old man said, and then? And then? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so it's imperative that one consider where they are in accordance with God's never-ending eternity. God tells us that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. It tells us that we're all born on the broad road that leads down to hell and destruction. It says there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I hope here in the meeting tonight that none will take offense to the word sinner. For Scripture says that we are all sinners. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to be called a sinner. Because to be called a sinner means that there's salvation for us. For Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if we take our place as a sinner before God, then there is salvation available for us. But look at this rich farmer. You know, he accumulated much wealth. But you know, in the world today, there are many people that think the accumulation of wealth brings satisfaction. But look at the man. It only brought anxiety. What shall I do? I've got all these goods. Where shall I bestow them? How shall I take care of them? How shall I preserve them? And so it is in the world tonight. Men make millions of dollars, and then they worry how they're going to keep it. It brings no satisfaction, money. This rich farmer found that out. And I trust you'll take example, take thoughts from him, that the accumulation of wealth does not bring satisfaction. He said, my goods, my crops, my fruits, whose were they? Wasn't it God who created the heaven and the earth? Wasn't God who created the seed that brought forth the fruit? Isn't it God who brought the early and the latter rain which blessed this man? And yet we read nothing of thanking God for his bountiful provision. No, it was my good, my cross, my fruit. What about you tonight? Is all that you have gotten by your own hand? Or is it because of the goodness of God that you have them? Have you ever thanked him for all that he has done for you and accepted his son as your savior? He reckoned on many years. Do you? Our life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How long does any one of us have to live on this earth? Do we know the day that that line will be drawn? When we shall cross from this life into eternity? From time into eternity? We don't have to live till we're old. We just have to visit the local cemetery and we can see there are those buried there from the youngest, even hours old, to people 100 years old. We know not how long we have to live. But God says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare while thou have breath. Prepare while thou have intelligence. Prepare while you have the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He also mistook his soul or his life for his soul. He speaks of his soul here. I will say to my soul, when really he meant his life. His life, earthly life here that the food would provide and keep, not thinking of his soul at all that would live on for all eternity, but was unfit to meet the God of heaven because it was steeped in its sin and stained and needed to be cleansed. And then I also see that he mistook his soul for his God, for he trusted in his soul to keep him. And he didn't look to the God of heaven to keep him. And what do we read? God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be inquired of thee. You know, George Campbell, preacher out in Newfoundland and Labrador, told the story of a girl named Sandra. He was having gospel meetings, and this girl was attending, just as you are attending a meeting tonight. And the claims of the gospel were put before her. This one night the meeting ended, and George said to Sandra, what about it, Sandra? And she says, no, not tonight. He says, well, will you be back tomorrow night? She says, no, I want to have some fun first, and then I'll be back. Some friends were just going across over to Labrador, I believe it was, and when we finish what we're going to do over there, I'll come back and come to the meeting. And the group went off. You know, she never returned to that meeting. They don't really know what happened. They came down the other side and onto the dock where they get the ferry, and they didn't stop. When they found the car, they found Sandra, her hands at the window, clawing to get out, but she was dead. Give me just a little longer, for the world seems now so bright, when I feel that I am dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. That was her cry. Give me just a little longer. As far as we know, Andrew never trusted the Lord as his Savior. You see, death had come across the path. That rich farmer, death, came across his path. But you know, the Spirit of the Lord could cease to strive with a person. There was a farmer who attended meetings, and he listened to the Word, and the Word searched his soul. It convicted him of his sin. He knew that he was not right with God. He knew that he had not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He knew his sins had not been forgiven. And he went home from the meeting one night, and the next day he came out, and he was out plowing in his field. And as he was plowing his field, thoughts came to him. Christ died for the ungodly. You are a sinner. What about it? And you know, he stopped his tractor there in the middle of the field, and he got out and got down on his knees, and he cried up to God and said, "Leave me alone." I'm sure no one here would do that. And you know, God left him alone. When he was an old man, laying in the hospital, nearing the end of life, a man came to him, tried to preach the gospel to him, tried to reason with him, and he said, "It's too late. Too late. I made my choice. The Spirit of God has stopped striving with me." But you know, the Lord, Jesus Christ, had come. Three ways. Death, God's Spirit could stop striving. But the Lord Jesus Christ had come. And we would be raptured. And those who are not saved would be left behind for judgment. That's why it's important to have a gospel meeting. That each one of us can see us as God sees us. God looks down and he sees all our righteousnesses as filthy rags. He sees that there's none that seeketh after God. And he says, "Prepare to meet thy God." And you know, the foolish man, and yet, there is abundant provision, for there is a forsaken man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down from heaven above. And he came down for the purpose that he would go to Calvary's cross, and he would pay the price for your sin and for my sin. He would pay the price that we wouldn't have to pay, the price for sin. Because as God looked down, he saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and intents of his heart was only evil continually. You know, as God looked down and he saw that man failed, that he sinned and come short of the glory of God and could never measure up, God in his great love sent his beloved Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came that he might seek and save that which is lost. Are you lost tonight? Are you away from God? Have you ever been brought nigh by the precious blood of Christ? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. You know, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ that he came into the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, the people in, it says in Mark 11, they cried as he entered into Jerusalem, the week he was crucified, "Save, Lord." But days later, they cried, "Crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us." And you know what, tonight, as you sit in the meeting, we must be perfectly clear that if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, those are the words of your heart. Neglect, procrastination, putting it off, it's all the same. I will not have this man to reign over me. And you know, if one is not with Christ, then one is against Christ. If Christ is not their leader, then who is? Scripture tells us that Satan is the leader. Satan is their owner and leads them with the baubles of this life, that they might be like that rich farmer and put God out of their life and end up being cast into hell and then the lake of fire. But you know, he was forsaken of men. He was taken outside the city of Jerusalem, and there he was crucified. Men had forsaken him. Men had thought they were getting rid of him. But you know, it was all according to God's will that the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That he would give his life a ransom for many. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that we might be made right with God. Truly herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, forsaken by man. The love of God. We read there on the, when he's upon the cross, God closed that scene in darkness. When Christ paid the price for sin, during those dark hours, as God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all, he could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The forsaken man. He was forsaken that he might pay the price for sin. He who is holy, harmless, and undefiled might be made sin for us, might bear our sin, that we can be made right with God. And tonight, you can be made right with God. There's no need to be afar from God. There's no need to stay in one sin. But you can be brought nigh to God by the precious blood of Christ. How? By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to seek and to save you this evening. Then we read of the forgiven man. The man in Luke chapter 5. We read of this man that he was paralyzed. He was a palsied man. He was helpless. There was no hope for him. They couldn't cure him. He was to be like that the rest of his life. But you know, I can see that man as he heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can hear him wanting to get to Christ because he says, if I get to Christ, I can be made whole. But how can I get there? And I can see him imploring upon his friends that they might take him. And the friends were only too glad, for they had heard of the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ themselves, just as your friends tonight who have invited you along to this meeting. And they have persevered and they have insisted that you come. Why? That you might know the good news of salvation. That you might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you might enjoy the Savior that they know, that they have appreciated over the years, and know who he is, and that he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. He's a wonderful Savior. He meets our every need. And one day we shall be with him forevermore in bliss, freedom from pain, sickness, and disease, to sit in the light of his countenance forevermore. I can see as the friends took him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we read they came, and they couldn't get near him for the press. But these men were faithful, and they persevered, and they took the man up, and they lowered that bed right down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ looked upon him and said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise up and walk. Go thy way. And you can hear people saying, how can this be? How can one know their sins forgiven here on earth? They said, that's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin. We want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was manifested to take away the sin of the world. And so he was the one that could say, thy sins be forgiven thee. But I want you to notice in the verse, we're going to turn to it, says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Power upon earth. Not on eternity. Not weighing up the good deeds and the bad deeds when one's life is over. But it's while here upon earth that forgiveness of sin can be had. And that forgiveness is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came that you might have life everlasting. But look at our three men again. The foolish man, the forgiven man, and between the two, the forsaken man. We read in Matthew chapter 27 that the Lord was crucified. And then there were two thieves crucified, and one on the left hand and one on the right. And we read while they were upon the cross that the one man cast into the Lord all the things that the people were casting into his teeth. Save thyself and save us. But the other man says, rebuke him. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He cried for mercy. One was saved. One died on the cross without Christ. You see, the separation between the foolish and the forgiven, the saved and the lost, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in the middle. On what side of Christ are you tonight? Have you taken that step, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you put your trust into Him and let Him save you? Or are you on the other side? And one day, will God have to say, thou fool? I can't. But one day God might, because you have rejected His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, thou can be forgiven. Come unto me, it says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When should one do it? Should one wait till they're older? Should one wait until circumstances are right? Not what Scripture says. Scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Will you not take my Savior to be yours tonight? Know the forgiveness of sin. How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.